The following broadcast of Compassion Radio is from our vast archive of programming content.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Welcome to the broadcast. Compassion Radio takes the light of the gospel to some of the most remote places on earth. We're so glad you're here with us to start a brand new week. Okay, time for a quick visit to the dictionary. The word is compassion. It's a noun. The Webster's definition number one, a deep awareness of and sympathy for another's suffering. Compassion definition number two, the humane quality of understanding the suffering of others and wanting to do something about it. It's safe to say that those definitions summarize this ministry quite well. Today's Compassion Radio broadcast is rather unique. In fact, we're going to turn it over to the ladies for today's program as Cher Nelson interviews a dear sister who's written a powerful book that you need to be aware of. Let's check in with Norm at the outset as he gives us the context for today's Compassion Radio.
A fundamental reason why Compassion Radio exists is that people everywhere experience pain and suffering. For those of us who follow Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, there can be no indifference to those who suffer. Repeatedly, the New Testament tells us that when Jesus was confronted with hurting people, he felt compassion for them. Or another way it's translated, he had compassion on them. But beyond that, he told his followers then and now to take action to alleviate suffering, to comfort others, to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry. Compassion is more than a feeling. It is the act of helping those who hurt. Now, compassion then requires skills to make its action effective. So how do we acquire the necessary skills to be effective helpers? The author, Barb Roberts, who is director of Caring Ministries at Cherry Creek Presbyterian Church in Denver, Colorado, is with us on Compassion Radio today. My wife, Cher, who is herself a licensed professional therapist, will be talking with Barb.
Today on Compassion Radio, we really have a special event. You out there in Radioland know that I am a therapist, and I have very strong opinions about a lot of therapy books that are written for Christians. But today, we have an author, and we have a book that I think every Christian out there needs to have practically in hand at all times. But let me tell you about Barbara Roberts. She's the author of the book, Helping Those Who Hurt, and the subtitle is A Handbook for Caring in Crisis. Barbara has a degree in pastoral care and family counseling from Regis University, and she's directed the Caring Ministry Department for Cherry Creek Presbyterian Church in Englewood, Colorado for more than 20 years. Now, when you deal with a church family at the same church for 20 years, you know that you are doing something right, because it's not a matter of someone coming to you for a few weeks, being counseled, and then leaving. You are living and working constantly with the same people that you're caring for. And this is a high, high recommendation for what this lady has to say. Now, Barb, I told you before the program that I feel like just spending the entire half hour telling people why they need the book, but I will get out of your way for a little while and let you talk about it. I would like, first of all, for you to explain to us a little bit of what drove you to write this book. What needs were you seeing? What events were you experiencing that made you say, you know, I've got to sit down and write all of this?
Oh, you are asking questions that are dear to my heart.
Oh, good.
Thank you so very much. I really appreciate what you have said to start our time together. I, as you said, have been involved in pastoral care ministry for many years and have learned things which I feel are shareable. And my heart is that whatever benefit comes from this book would, first of all, give glory to God, because I feel like He is the one who has placed me here.
Mm-hmm.
He has taught me and used me however He has chosen up to this point. And then He has given me things to share. So that's where sort of my baseline, where I want to start, And my little phrase has been, everybody knows somebody who's hurting. And I think that's really true. You know, it may be somebody in my own family. Mm-hmm. It might be my neighbor or somebody I work with or somebody I minister with or a colleague at work. Many areas of hurting. It can be in the area of crisis, death, domestic violence, all of these things I've included in the book. And I wrote it in a handbook form. In fact, if you could see the book, mm-hmm. if we were on television, you could see the book. It's small enough that you can slip it in your purse, you can put it in your briefcase, you can have it by the phone or on the bedside table. It's really available and accessible. And the second part about the handbook form is it's not a book you have to sit down and read from cover to cover, mm-hmm. but you can look up a particular topic. Maybe you have never had to help plan a funeral. Well, there's a section in there on walking through that. And I hope step by step, I've been privileged over the years to walk through death with many, many families. And I do consider it a privilege. And so I've tried to put down what things you need to know. Maybe you've been involved in that kind of grief, and maybe you haven't. So you can just look in the index, and you can go to those pages, and you can, I hope, get the help you need when you need it.
I can assure them they can. Let me just read a couple of comments that have been made about the book. It's called Comprehensive, Streetwise, Biblical, Accessible, Truth-Filled, and Compassion-Centered. Now you know why we like that. Another comment made is that this superb handbook is a true guide for Jesus-like wisdom and compassion. Barb, you mentioned that everyone has a difficult situation that they're going through.
Uh-huh.
But I want to be sure that people understand about this book. Was this just written for people who are in a church capacity of caring for people, like in a Stephen ministry or on staff? Or how did you write this?
I wrote it for anybody.
Good.
I mean, it's not for the minister. It's not for the counselor, although it's used, for instance, at Denver Seminary in their pastoral care classes. But that's not why I wrote it. That's just a benefit to me. It was really written for anybody in my family or your family or your workplace who I shared this with my eye doctor's staff a few weeks ago just because I had one in my purse and I gave it to them and got a call from one of their staff a week later saying that she took it home and showed it to her husband, whose mother had died 10 years before, and he had never been able to work through the grieving process. And she was just thrilled with this book and wanted to get two more copies.
Aww.
They didn't have anything to do with a church setting. I have no idea what their faith base was in their own lives, but that's the kind of thing that just thrills me, because I wrote the book just with my own life experiences and training and heart to share with another person who could help somebody else.
Well, the accessibility of the book is what is so exciting to me. And in your author's note, you have some bullet points. I don't know whether you know those by heart or if you could give them to us, the general ideas about how the book is laid out.
Well, it's really laid out to address a specific issue or a problem, and then to go to information, what to do with, you know, if you want to share with another person who's going through that problem. Let's just say, for instance, you get a call from a neighbor who knows that you really do care about them and you're willing to listen to them, and they've just gotten notified by the police that their son has picked up with a DUI. What do you do? Mm-hmm. How do you help that neighbor? So that's just one little example in the book. So specific information, what to do or say to that person in need, and then advice to give the caregiver. And then beyond that, for the person themselves in crisis, what about the young woman who has suffered through 3 miscarriages, and what do they do themselves with the pain that they're experiencing and the loss and those around them who really don't get it? that they've lost their child. So it's written for that young woman, it's written for her husband, it's written for her mom, and it's written for her neighbor.
For those of you who may just be tuning in and don't know who we're speaking with, we are talking today with Barbara Roberts, who's the author of Helping Those Who Hurt, a handbook for caring in crisis. And this is one of the most practical guides I have ever seen for helping any person deal with not only the crises around them, but the crises in their own life. Barb, we were just talking about how the book is laid out, and let me just read off these points. Every chapter starts with general information about whatever the crisis situation is, goes to specific information about what to do or say, and the thing I love most is that most chapters also contain what not to say about the situation, specific advice
right.
that you can offer,
right.
information written directly to those in the crisis, which can be photocopied out of the book and put in the hands of the person that you're talking to. I think that is just absolutely marvelous.
Yeah.
People in crisis hear sporadically. And you don't know when you are there trying to be a friend and a comfort and trying to offer the love and the care that you feel. You don't know whether that's one of the times that they're hearing or not. They can be so overwhelmed by what's happening, and they listen to you, but it doesn't go past almost the eyeballs or the outside of the ears. They just can't take in everything that they hear during a crisis. And this is something that you can leave in their hands for them to look at when they can take it in. I just think it's marvelous. And then at the end of every chapter, there are annotated resources for you to follow up on. But one of the most exciting things for me is the resources at the end. Barbara has pages and pages of books that apply to all these different situations that you can take and read on your own. Now, I haven't read all of them, but the ones that I have read are books that I would recommend very highly. And there are even other subjects listed in here that are not listed in the book where you can find further information. This is just one of the most tightly packed resources I have ever seen, and I really recommend it. Barbara, I've heard you say that there are some ABCs of caregiving. I wonder if you could explain that for our listeners.
I would love to. It is so simple that, you know, on first hearing, people will think, well, duh.
Yeah.
but really think about it. Okay, the ABCs of caregiving are A, who you are, B, that you know, C, that you care. Now, let me flesh that out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say I call you up and I just say, hi, this is Barb. So that's A, you know, mm-hmm. who I am. Then I say, I just heard that your mom was diagnosed this morning with cancer.
Mm.
And I am so sorry. Now, think about that. Or let me change B a little bit. I just heard that your husband left, and I am just so sorry, and I hurt with you, and I want you to know I'm here. How can I help? Let's say that you have called your friend Sally. Now, you know that her husband just left. What if you call her up, but you don't know how to tell her that you know? Then she's left with this big pink elephant in the
mm-hmm.
living room. She's hurting too much to mention it. And what do you do? How do you get off of dead center and try to help her? So who you are, that you know, takes away the mystery, and that you care. It doesn't have to be a long paragraph of caregiving or having the perfect answer
mm-hmm.
or even the right answer. You are just telling her that you love her and that you care and you hurt with her. That's pretty much all you have to say. But isn't that great?
It's wonderful. And it also leaves room for clarification, because if you say, I heard that your husband left and you're getting a divorce, and that's wrong, the person can say, well, no, that's not really what happened. But they also know what the story is out there that's being said about them, and it helps them deal with people in a different way to clear up information that may be wrong. But there's another part of what you said that is totally important to me, and I know it is to you, and that is, What do you do with the information that you receive when you call someone and say, I've heard that you're hurting. If you'd care to talk about the situation, I'm happy to listen. What do you do with the information that you hear from that person?
Great point. Let's just break it apart a little bit. Mm-hmm. What do? You let them know that you care. You let them know that you want to listen. You let them know, and you can probably say it in a myriad of ways, but that what they share with you will not go any further.
Thank you.
And by the way, that is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Confidentiality doesn't just apply to you who happen to be a therapist. It applies to any of us, because in order for somebody to trust us with their hurt, they need to know we are trustworthy. So that's a really big piece of what you're doing. And they need to know from you that you're not going to give them a quick answer or a ready scripture or some kind of pat words, mm-hmm. but you're going to listen. Because everybody who's hurting needs to tell their story.
Exactly.
And sometimes
over
they need
and
to
over.
Tell it. That's exactly right. And if you are one who will listen to their story with no judgment, an open heart, a listening ear, and a trustworthy spirit, then you have given them an incredible gift.
Yes, the trustworthy spirit is what I was after. Even when, as I gave the illustration before, if you call and say that you've heard something and it turns out not to be right, the next time you hear someone say that that is what happened, it is not your place to say, no, that's not what happened. She told me that.
Yeah.
This is the situation. All you do is break trust with that person that you're going to keep their confidentiality if they tell you anything else. Just
right.
Suggest to the person who has it still wrong, well, you know, unless you've talked to her, we don't really know all the facts. Why don't you give her a call and tell her that you care and see what's really going on? Or
yeah.
It's just so important to be faithful to the person that you have said, I care, I will listen, I will be your friend. The next sentence needs to be, I will keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly.
Listen, Barbara, I'm going to rush you a little bit here because there are a couple of other things I want to cover while we still have time.
Okay.
There are two chapters in here that I just love you, love you, love you for. One of them is the chapter on aging. And the subtitles under that are Thoughts on Aging, When You Care for Me, I Would Like You to Remember That.
Yeah.
Helpful information for the elderly and their families who are planning for their future. Helpful information for those caring for the elderly. And how to arrange a homebound person's environment.
Mm-hmm.
There is nobody in this world that isn't going to deal with that if they're not dealing with it at this time. And with the baby boomer generation coming, this is going to
right.
be more and more an issue. But bless your heart, the very last chapter, and I'm glad you left it for last, so it's the last thing in people's mind as they read through this book, is on forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell us just in a couple of minutes, why is forgiveness in here, when the rest of the things we're talking about are death and grief and troubled marriages and domestic violence? And why do we need to talk to people who are grieving about forgiveness?
That's such a good question and such a loaded question. I hope I can do it justice in an answer. When you think about some kind of pain in your life, let's think about the subject of suicide. And the reason I think that's on my heart is because I'm going to participate in a webinar from Regis University on faith perspectives on suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about the subject of suicide and the grief that's involved in that. And it gets so complicated. And there's so much that's wrapped up in the topic of forgiveness that has to do with that. That's just one little thing that's on my mind, I think, today. Forgiving yourself, forgiving others. Maybe you didn't do everything perfect. Maybe your loved one who died, not suicide, but let's, mm-hmm. you know, something else, some other way of dying. And you have so much that you wish you would have taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing I want to mention is forgiving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's certainly a piece of forgiveness. But forgiving another person, think about crisis and grief and all of the subjects in the book. It's all wrapped up in forgiveness and letting go and being free.
That's exactly what I wanted you to get across to the people, is that the forgiveness applies to every other topic that you mention in the book.
Right.
Barbara, I wish we had about 3 days with you, but I just want to tell everybody who's listening that I think this needs to be a required gift for every bridal shower, every baby shower, for Mother's Day, for Father's Day, for anyone who has grandchildren, for anyone who's a member of a family. You don't need to be designated to be a caregiver for your church. You are going to live with people all of your life. And in living with your family members and living with your friends and neighbors, you are going to go through all of these experiences, either on your own or with them. And just these practical do's and don'ts and suggestions and scripture that goes with every single topic, everyone needs this in their home to guide their family, to guide their life. I just can't praise you enough, Barb, for doing this. And I hope our people will take us seriously and will want to get a copy of this. God bless you. I thank you for your time. It's never enough time.
Thanks for your thoughts and your encouragement and your affirmation. It means a great deal. And I want this tool to get into people's hands.
We do too.
We invite you, Lord, to be in this meeting place with us. We invite you, Lord, to be in our hearts. Make yourself at home. We're going to be here for a while. You are welcome. Let us honor you with praise.
We invite you, Lord, to be this meeting place with us. We invite you, Lord, to be in our hearts. Make yourself at home. We're going to be here for a while. You are welcome. Let us honor you with praise. We are here.
Just heard Compassion Radio's vocal group Morning Song singing Let Us Honor You. Morning Song albums are available through this ministry. Let us know if you're interested. Well, that was truly a fascinating conversation from our Compassion Radio archives today between Cher Nelson and special guest Barbara Roberts. January is always a time for new beginnings, and for Compassion Radio, this is especially true this year. The first new thing is the Compassion Project we bring to your attention this month. For the first time in our many years of Bible projects, we are reaching out to our military who are serving around the world, some in active combat zones, many others in places which could erupt at any time. Why this project now? We became aware that although the military says it provides access to Bibles, the supply system is slow and cumbersome. Often the unit budget does not allow enough purchases to meet the needs of all the soldiers. Logistics is also a huge challenge in getting Bibles to remote outposts when they are requested. As we kick off 2017, will you help us send Bibles to servicemen and women who are hungry for God's Word? They come in a trim size with a durable simulated leather binding that makes them easy to use in the field. Each Bible can be delivered into the hands of a seeker for $20. Thank you for standing with us. Please give today. Our soldiers need the strength and hope contained in God's Word. The Bibles they receive will change lives. With your gift of $20 or more to the Ministry of Compassion Radio this month, we will send you, at your request, either a lapel pin or car magnet, reminding you and others to pray for our troops. This is one of the best ways we can help repay their sacrifice. Call us with your gift today to 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Or you can give securely online at CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And that toll-free phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. I'm Jim Governale. On behalf of Norm and Cher Nelson, Bram Floria, and the entire Compassion Radio team, Happy New Year, and we'll see you again tomorrow for the next edition of Compassion Radio.